everything that happened, let's say, in the periphery of this focused field of attention was more or less unknown. And it's precisely in this periphery where all these examples have been developed. But you could argue that notwithstanding this institutional ignorance on what was really happening on the ground, and notwithstanding this neglect, or maybe due to this neglect, who knows, there has been a widespread dissemination of these new activities. I have here some data from... it seems I need permanent assistance. But don't push the end show, because... No, I probably can better use this.
Yeah, just
one,
move then. The laptop over and do it manually.
Ah. Maybe you have never been told what a Dutchman could make a mess out of simple things, but now you're witnessing yourself that indeed we have... incredible capacity to do so. This is research that has been done at the end of the 1990s. It was done in six European countries, Ireland, the UK, Netherlands, Germany, Spain, and Italy. And already at that time, it was found out that new forms of diversification, of the deepening and broadening type, that of all farmers in those six countries, 51% of them was involved in some kind of activity. Sometimes at experimental levels, sometimes further developed, but people were trying it out. And already at that moment, this rendered an impressive extra income, extra agrarian income to the sector of nearly 6 billion euros. Just to give a point of reference, that was twice as much as the agrarian income of the Netherlands as a whole. So this was quite significant. Then there is a very interesting work of a French research group of... Catherine Laurent, who started looking beyond this point of structural equivalence, yeah? And they found out that there is a huge heterogeneity. I will not go into the details, but just give you one outcome. What they call the full-time farmers, farms having no pensions and no other gainful activities of the deepening and broadening type, was at the end of the 70s some 31%. At the decreased into 2000 to less than 21. Then the full-time farms with other gainful activities of the type I've illustrated you rose from 15% to more than 21%. So the interrelation already had changed over that time. I will give you some even more recent Italian data. This is research done by colleagues and friends of mine in Italy. Among 2,000 large professional farms, the ones always thought to be, not very much interested in this new kind of developments. In 2008, the situation was as follows. 73% represented the classical model, whilst 27% was multifunctional, was in one type or another trying to build up new forms of local food systems. Then the prospects for the coming 5 years were researched, and it resulted that some would leave farming, especially in the classical conventional part, many considered to stop farming. Impressive was that out of this classical group, 13% were considering a change towards multifunctionality. When all these small moves are taken together, this would have implied that over 5 years, according to farmers' plans, the distribution would be as follows. 57% for the classical, 43% for the new kind of solutions. When you look to the situation among the young farmers under 40 years, it was 49% versus 51%. So there is this refers to a changing balance, not in the margin, but which is very massive, very omnipresent in Europe. A very important and interesting detail is that this seems to be of crucial importance for food production itself. It turned out that the multifunctional farmers invested far more and increased far more their investments in strict food production than the specialized farmers themselves did. This seems to suggest that the earnings of multifunctional agriculture are a kind of stimulus, a kind of saving to support further investments. So this multifunctionality about which I'm talking is not a definite adieu to food production. No, instead, it strengthens food production, and that's a very important finding. This did not only apply to the past, it's also present in the plans for the future. They consider far more increases in investments in food production. Some Dutch data, this is from very recent empirical research that was just concluded in last December, and it shows the average turnover per farm per year of the different activities that form part of the construction of local food systems. It differs highly. It goes even to very high levels for direct selling and on-farm processing of regional specialities. You should keep in mind, I show this to indicate once again that also at the economic level, we are not talking about marginal phenomena, about the fragile beginning of something new. We are talking about robust realities. Taken together, you have to keep in mind that the average multifunctional farm is having 2.5 new activities. So that makes for an overall turnover, which is considerable. And if you compare it to the agrarian turnover, and when you keep in mind that there's a very interesting difference in the ratio of value added versus turnover, then the result was that family farming income was for 40% produced by the new activities. Yeah, in many cases it applies that without these new activities, farming could not have been continued. Here again, there is this same finding that the new activities and agriculture production as such are strongly intertwined, and nearly all farmers have the opinion that the further development of new solutions requires this strong intertwinement with agriculture production. Now, an important point is that there is a huge dynamics in all this. Groups of farmers, following the Dutch principle of the study group that is meeting every fortnight and exchange details about farming, visiting each other farms, they form, as it were, the vanguard of these new local food systems. They continuously are looking for new improvements, new developments. They create a lot of failures and errors as well, but it's a kind of laboratory, this kind of interconnected farms for creating new novelties, new innovations. And I will go with you to one of these farms, the so-called sun farm or solar farm. It's also an interesting translation, which is located in one of the new polders in the Netherlands. Now, this originally was a dairy farm having 60 hectares. It expanded to 80 hectares in order to become a mixed farm. So instead of specializing, it went exactly the other way around. And this then was combined with the housing of horses. Many people in the cities, especially ladies, like to have horses, but evidently they cannot hold them in the city itself. So several farms also take care of horses, feed them, and offer also facilities for training. So already here we have in one farm, we have four different activities. But there is far more. The same farm also takes care of a nature reserve, neighboring nature reserve of some 800 hectares, using it for the horses, using it for riding horseback. And then the grain production you've seen is used as the starting point for milling and especially for producing bread. There's a bakery that's connected, I think that's activity number seven, to local farm, a local farmers markets, where apart from the bread also the dairy products and the vegetables, etc., are sold. The same farm also is having a web shop where you can order online and then it's delivered. But it still goes on in this complex context. They take care on daily basis for 12 handicapped children or having other difficulties. The farm turns out to be a very good environment for them. There are conference facilities during winter, but also during the summer. So you see there's an impressive array of activities. Every farm is unique in this respect, of course. The analytically important point is that all these activities make that the farm connects to a range of different groups of consumers, to a range of different localities. There's also a psychological or a sociological component in this. Farming nowadays is a very, well, it's an expression nearly of loneliness. Yeah, you're doing the milking alone, or you're 200 days of the year alone on your tractor. Here it's continuously meeting with people, dealing with people. The point, though, is that that I want to underline is that this solar farm is not delivering its products and its services to just the general market, but it's delivering, because that would imply that for sure the potential benefits will be reaped by others, it is delivering to specific markets, to newly constructed markets. I will refer to it as nested markets. And my main thesis is that these nested markets are crucial for the construction and the reproduction, that is the continuity and the further development of local food systems. And it's also in the construction of these nested markets where you can encounter, I guess, a wide range of policies, of possibilities for clever policies, for policy to help develop this this further. What then is a nested market? You could say let this represent a global market, a general market, for instance, for cheese, and then the nested market is a market for specific high-quality cheeses, which might be internally even further differentiated. The point is that this nested market is located within the general market. It's located to it, it's linked to it, but at the same time distanciated from it. It's a segment having boundaries, but very important is that there is permeability. It are not closed boundaries like would be the case in a niche market. Here, new farmers can enter, new consumers can enter, they can leave also. The nested market might contract or might expand. At the same time, these boundaries create a kind of protection for the nested market. They make for a distinctively different behavior, which is expressed in the price differential. Mostly, the prices in the nested market are higher, although there are even also cases in which the nested market is constructed through lower prices. Anyway, there is a distinctively different distribution of value added in the general market and in the nested market. There are different patterns of governance. There are different dynamics. It has been a big intellectual endeavor to understand all this better. Currently, together with teams out of China, Brazil, and the European Union, I'm involved in a comparative research of these nested markets, especially in the domain of agrarian products and services. It's interesting because this phenomenon of the nested market is absolutely not limited to Europe. You find many examples in China and also many interesting, also from the policy point of view, interesting examples in Brazil. And I will highlight some of the outcomes of this provisional, of this ongoing research. There's a long list of key features, but I will take out some of the important ones. First is that quality is not just a label, it's not just a brand. We're talking here about quality as a social definition, as a definition that is shared by producers and consumers, but also by the processors and the ones involved in the distribution. That's a socially shared and socially supported definition. Yet it implies complex processes of communication that go forwards and backwards. Another important feature refers to the spatial dimension. It's about short and decentralized circuits. It's not about localism, keep that in mind. Yet these decentralized circuits might extend considerable distances in space, yeah, especially using internet. From a sociological point of view, it's interesting that it's these relations are patterned in a horizontal way, which differ considerably from the hierarchical patterns, the vertical patterns that are characteristic for supermarkets and generally for food empires. There are many other features, but one of these features I will try to highlight a little bit more specifically, because it's also an ideal point of departure for policy interventions. This aspect is the distinctively different infrastructure, the material or the socio-material infrastructure of these new nested markets is different. Let me illustrate that with a few examples. This is an example of a material infrastructure developed by Dutch farmers and farmers' women. It's about farm shops, the green ovals, the green circles, that over time have been connected between each other. You have different farms connected to it. You have the farm shop, but initially they commercialized only their own farm produce. So one was specialized on fruits and vegetables, another on chutneys, another on dairy products. But then they started to have their own lorries connect the different farm shops. Yeah, so the assortment, the production was brought from one shop to another and then to all the others, and the products were brought back. So that had big advantage, that the supply for each farm shop was suddenly enlarged. This, of course, augmented tremendously the attractivity for consumers. And then it extended further also to box schemes, delivery schemes, to ordering through internet, urban farmers markets. And it also extended to neighboring farms who, for whatever reason, do not want to have or cannot have a farm shop but like to deliver one of the local farm shops. These are the blue boxes you see here. Well, this is an example of it's a radial structure that links in a very efficient way the different farms together and enlarges the supply at the local level, yeah, in the surroundings of each individual farm shop.